Coming up. Coming up. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And you're back. I'm excited.
I love it.
Love it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Purdy dropping back.
I can't talk enough about the boys and how incredible of a piece he's been for us.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I appreciate the time. At @Fred_Warner on both Twitter and Instagram.
Earlier on the show, Bengals running back Joe Mixon. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Matthew Hasselbeck. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show's on the air. Already had a great chat with Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Reid is talking right now, and I'm sure he's giving detailed information as to how hurt Patrick Mahomes is. Absolute detailed information.
I have some information.
What do you got?
Andy Reid told reporters that everyone will practice today, including Patrick Mahomes.
There you go.
Said he did well in the morning walkthrough.
Of course
expect
he did.
Him to be a full participant in practice this afternoon, but, quote, we'll see.
We'll see. He didn't call it a limp through, did he?
Walkthrough.
Huh. Okay. This is information. We're getting information. Albert Breer will join us in hour number three for more information. But joining us right now on the Rich Eisen Show is one of my favorite people. I got to know him in the early years of NFL Network, for sure. And, you know, Peyton Manning is not the only member of the Worldwide Leader in Sports analyst team. I'll conclude him on it with his Manning cast to have been drafted in the 1998 draft. No. Cannot forget the sixth-round choice of the Green Bay Packers in that draft. And he's number one in my heart. His name is Matthew Hasselbeck, and he's back here on the Rich Eisen Show after a very long absence. How you doing, Matthew? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Rich? I thought you were going to talk. I thought you were going to say Randy Moss, class of '98 draft as well.
Oh, really? That's right. I forgot about that. No, I'm focused on you. This is all. It's all about you. Did you get a call from Holmgren?
Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, draft 1-2, and I was 187. Randy was in there somewhere. He fell a little bit in the first round.
Right.
Still has a chip on his shoulder about it, as we learned last week on our show. you know.
Did you get a call from Holmgren that day? Your phone rings and it's Mike saying you want to be a Green Bay Packer. Is that what it was?
I got a call from Andy Reid, the quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers that year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
It was a great call. I had a landline phone, you know, with like the little squirrely, you know, like the
the water.
You know, the squiggly thing.
Yeah,
right?
The squiggly
thing. We also had one other phone. It was a cordless phone.
Oh.
Okay. And so like when I actually got a couple calls. Like Matt Kavanaugh called me. I think he was with the Baltimore Ravens at the time. Sean Payton called me. He was with the Philadelphia Eagles as the quarterback's coach at the time. Both those guys said the same thing. Hey, this is during the sixth round. Hey, we're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. You know, I want to draft a quarterback. They're not going to let me. But I want you to know, after the draft, we want you to sign as an undrafted free agent. So I was kind of like, well, shoot, man, I guess that's okay. Well, while Sean Payton says that to me, it was like a newer phone. So we had call waiting.
Wow.
And it says who's calling? And it says Green Bay Packers. So I'm like, to Coach Payton, I'm like, Coach Payton, you know, can you hold on 1 second? I'm getting a call. And the next call I get, it's actually a scout for the Green Bay Packers. He's like, oh, please hold for Andy Reid. So Andy gets on the phone. Long story short, Andy's like, hey, look at the television right now. I'm looking at the ESPN ticker.
Mm-hmm.
I see my name. I freak out. I throw the cordless phone up. I'm celebrating with my family. Totally forget to go back to Sean Payton on call waiting. And I had actually forgotten about it until about 2 years ago. I saw Sean Payton. He came on our Sunday Countdown show, and he's like, hey, you remember like hanging up on me and never coming back on call waiting, you know, back at the draft? Like, oh man, now that you mention it, I do remember. I'm sorry, dude. Like Andy Reid called, I was just so fired up. My bad.
So it's like the Geno Smith, you know, they wrote me off. I just never wrote back. That's basically it. You never clicked back. You never clicked back.
You know, and honestly, I didn't even know about it. Like, I was so shocked to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I was shocked to get drafted. And secondly, I was shocked to get drafted by such a good team. Like, the Packers were coming off of their second consecutive Super Bowl. Their quarterback was about to win their third MVP. Like, they didn't need a quarterback. They weren't on a list of teams I thought would even draft me. They had a ton of guys. And, Yeah, I'm psyched. It was the best year I ever had. Mike Holmgren was an incredible coach. Obviously, Favre was the starter, but the backup at the time was Doug Peterson. And you know how it is in these meetings as a rookie quarterback, probably like it was for Brock Purdy to start out the season.
Right.
Like, you're just sitting there while they coach the other guys. You're not allowed to talk. You just shut up and take notes. And so, like, what I would do that rookie year, I would write down all the questions that I would have asked if I was allowed to ask Andy Reid or Mike Holmgren a question. And I would write them down. And then I would try to ask Doug Peterson as many of those questions as I could from the walk, from the quarterback room to the locker room, which is kind of a long walk. But, and that was really, I would like to say that's when Doug Peterson got his start in coaching. I'd like to take a little credit for that.
I love it. I love that whole story, Matthew. I love all of it. Matt Hasselbeck right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Purdy. He got named as a finalist for Rookie of the Year. We all know what he's done. What do you make of him? And fully know that your long-lost Hasselbeck brother, Chris Brockman, thinks he's a product of the system more than anything else right now.
Ooh.
So be careful.
Okay, where do I start? Finalist? Did you say finalist?
Yes, because it's yes, there's three of them. There's Kenneth Walker, there's Garrett Wilson, and him.
Garrett Wilson?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I love those guys. I love them both. But how do you not give it to Brock Purdy this year? 7-0 as a starter. Like, he's playing on he's a starting quarterback in the NFC Championship game. Please, he's absolutely crushing it. That dude is playing so well. Sure, like, does Kyle Shanahan deserve credit, more credit than he's getting? Yeah, he does. I would even argue another class of 98 draft class, Brian Greasy, he deserves a lot of credit. This dude came from the broadcast booth calling college football games, and now he's the quarterback's coach in the NFL. Like, I don't think people realize, like, when you're calling college football games, you're not really, like, all the way into the NFL. And, like, when you're calling NFL games or you're doing, like, NFL-type stuff, you're not really all the way into the college game. So, like, I have a ton of respect for the job that Brian Greasy, you know, you see, what, they have 66 starting quarterbacks across the NFL this year. Most teams that had to go to their second or third guy fell flat on their face. Like, go ask the Miami Dolphins how easy it is to play with your third string quarterback. Go ask a bunch of these other teams. The San Francisco 49ers are playing better right now than they were to start the season with their, I mean, I'm so impressed with all of it with the 49ers. It's, and Purdy's a great story. One of the best stories of the year.
So let's spin it forward. What are the Eagles? I mean, we just saw what they did with Daniel Jones. I mean, his carriage turned into a pumpkin literally on his first drive. What do you think Purdy's challenges here with Philadelphia in this NFC Championship game, Matthew?
Yeah, Philly's a complete team. I mean, that's why San Fran's, you know, leaving on Friday, traveling to Philly. You know, this game would be in California, but it's Philly earned it during the year. They kind of limped into the playoffs just a little bit. Listen, Philly's a great team. You know, we talk a lot about Jalen Hurts because I think that's one of the biggest surprises of the year. Him going from so many questions, like, is he a franchise quarterback? Is he going to be the starting quarterback? To now the new question is, should he be the MVP? And I kind of think like, if he had stayed healthy the whole year, you know, he's right in that mix with Patrick Mahomes as MVP. But no, they're a complete team. Their defense is, I really am a huge fan of Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator. They have a vision for who they want to be. I think the best thing the Eagles have done, though, they have surrounded Jalen Hurts with a scheme that absolutely complements his skill set. And they've also gone and gotten the players to help him then go and be successful. Like, the signing of A.J. Brown, for whatever reason, I don't feel like it got the attention that it deserved. A.J. Brown, to me, is the Derrick Henry version of a wide receiver. Like, he kind of makes everything go. He helps Devontae. He helps Dallas Goedert. He clearly helps the quarterback. And then with that offensive line that Philly has, like, if you have to honor those three guys, those two receivers and that tight end, then they will run it. Like, they'll run it for almost 300 yards on you. Like, and you have to honor the quarterback in the quarterback run game as well. So this is just a huge matchup. Great quarterback weekend, great games. I'm sure you agree.
No doubt. Matthew Hasbeck from ESPN, worldwide leader in sports, 18-year veteran right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you ever play with a high ankle sprain, Matt?
You know what? I did. You know, back when I played, I don't know if they had invented high ankle sprain. I just remember, like, you hurt your ankle, right? I'm half kidding. I'm half kidding about that. But you know what? There are things you can do for the ankle. And, like, I would just say this, just like, you know, I'm not a doctor, but, like, I got hurt a bunch in my career. I was, you know, backed up Andrew Luck and Brett Favre and guys that played hurt a lot. I would say this. This is sort of like the thing that I would say to myself about, like, because even as the player, you don't know if you're going to play the next game. You don't know how you're going to be, you know, if you're healthy enough to go. If I was able to finish the game, though, I would say there's a very good chance that I'll be able to start the next one. You know, like, let's just say it's an ankle sprain or something like that. But if, say I got hurt to the point where I wasn't able to finish the game, now I'm sort of, I would think of myself more as doubtful to start the next one. So I say that, like, I saw Patrick Mahomes finish that last game. Mm-hmm. He was exceptional at some things. There were a couple things that bothered him. It was kind of unique. Like, obviously, like, runs to the left where you're planting on your right foot to kind of naked bootleg away. That's a problem. Another thing that was ironically a problem for him is quick wide receiver screens to the right.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like catching the shotgun snap and then doing that quick, like, you know, shortstop, second baseman, like flip your hips, turn two, kind of wide receiver screen, that seemed to really, really bother him, and the throws weren't very good. But he clearly can throw the ball downfield, and Andy Reid has enough play calls to figure out what he's healthy enough to do.
Yeah, I saw Collinsworth was on that one, right? Like, as soon as he threw it out to his right, Chris is just like, you could see he hitched it. He didn't get it out to his right because obviously there was a jolt that came from his ankle. So you don't think that's going to be much of a factor then on Saturday?
No, because here's what happens, Rich. Here's what happened. I did this a bunch with Mike Holmgren. Like, I'd have an injury, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd go through it and he'd say, you know, it's that big Andy Reid call sheet, right? You know what it looks like. It looks like a Waffle House menu, right? And and you basically say, he says, okay, what on here hurts? Like, what hurts? And I would say, okay, any naked bootlegs to the right, they really bother me. I can't do it. But, hey, I can do naked bootlegs to the left. He'd just take a black Sharpie and he'd just cross them out. He'd just cross them out. And so I think what Patrick's going to do is, like, hey, coach, you know, under center, any runs to the left, like, they're really hard for me. You know, they're hard for me. But shotgun runs to the left are great. And so, like, I think they'll have a little, like, plan to call plays around the injury. This happens all the time with wide receivers. Let's pretend it's a wide receiver with a right ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All your slant routes are going to be run from the left side. Any in-breaking route is going to be run from the left side. Any out-breaking route is going to be run from the right side. And so, like, as a defense, like, honestly, you're playing defense for a reason. You're probably not as smart as the offensive guys. A little offense-defense humor there. But, like, after a while, you're like, oh, yeah, he's running all the routes he normally runs. He's running comebacks. He's running out routes. He's running in routes. But if you really studied it, it's like, you know what? All his in routes are from the left side. All his out routes are from the right side. So we do that with wide receivers. Andy Reid is certainly smart enough. Patrick Mahomes is certainly smart enough to do that from the quarterback position as well.
Okay. All right. You're making me smarter, Matthew. I feel like my brain is growing right now. All right. So, but wouldn't Lou Anarumo, can he suss it out like mid first quarter?
Mm.
Can he suss out what plays are out and what plays are in and what he's doing? Can that happen?
Well, like, even if you know, like, there's still this wow factor for Patrick Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even when you, like, if you're watching the last game, you're like, oh, look, the guy's playing on one leg. You can't do anything. What's the next thing he does? He does a jump pass. You know, what's the next thing he does? He scrambles on third down and runs it up in the middle for a first down. It's like, there's just a wow factor with the great quarterbacks of the game. And I would put all three guys, and right now I think Brock Purdy is just hot hand. He almost doesn't know what he doesn't know. All four guys are really, really exceptional this season. And so, you know, like, I don't know, like, oh, well, Patrick Mahomes can't do this. It's like, oh, yeah, watch me. I'm going to do it. And I kind of feel like for these defensive coordinators, you know, I work with Rex Ryan on Sunday Countdown, and it's hilarious to hear Rex talk about what he would do as a game plan, because he's very, very confident. He knows what he would do. He's very, like, clear what he would do. And then every once in a while, it'd be a guy, and he'll just throw his hands up like, yes. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Like, there's literally no defense for what just happened. And I kind of think that that's what Patrick Mahomes is as a quarterback.
Well, I'm looking at him right now. He's talking to the media as we're talking, Matthew, and he's taking questions from the right and he's taking questions from the left. He's standing at the podium. You know, it looks like he's not leaning to one side. He looks good to me at the podium. You know, and he's
well, let me say this, Rex. Rex.
It's okay.
Rich. I got you mixed up with Rex Ryan. Rich and Rex.
I'll accept it.
I've been to those walkthroughs, you know, like everyone's like, this is like breaking news because he had the walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And like half the guys don't even tie their shoes for the walkthrough. Like it's literally a walkthrough. You know, like some coaches like a little more up tempo, they'll call it a jog through. But even at the jog through,
yeah,
literally, like guys aren't even tying their shoes. So that tells me nothing. What I really care about is I want to hear what happened after practice.
Mm-hmm.
And now the press conference is before practice, so, you know, right. I still think we're in wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, he says it's feeling good to go is what he's saying right now. Matthew Hasselbeck here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah. I know, right? Through.
I know, exactly.
In Crocs. In Crocs.
So you mentioned the wow factor for Mahomes. I guess the wow factor for Burrow is the result, but you watching him, what's the wow factor watching Burrow, Matt, for you?
Well, I mean, all these quarterbacks, but the combined record of all these quarterbacks that are left is 35-2. And Joe Burrow, of that 35-2, has the best record of them at 10-0, like in this last, you know, in this last run here. So Burrow to me is playing the best of anybody right now, like the best. If I had to say one thing that he doesn't get enough credit for,
mm-hmm.
is that his ball security in the pocket is so good. It's the best in the business. Watch him play. He will have two hands on the ball in the pocket. And like people are like, oh, so what? Big deal. What's that really matter? Huge deal. This dude's been sacked over 100 times in the last 2 years. He's lost like four fumbles. Four. And so, like, I think as quarterbacks, if you listen to Tom Brady or you listen to some of the great quarterbacks that have ever played, the guys who actually win, not the guys who throw for a bunch of yards, the guys who win, there's this mindset that, like, quarterbacks some have where it's just like, oh, interceptions are my fault, but fumbles aren't really my fault. Like, those are, like, somebody else's. Somebody missed the block or something like that. Like, nah, dude, that's not true at all. Like, what hurts the team more, a sacked fumble back behind the line of scrimmage or an interception that happened, like, 25 yards downfield? And so, to me, Joe Burrow, yes, we know how explosive he is, how fearless he is, how fast they start in the first quarter. Like, we know all that stuff. But, like, the best thing he does is he never gives that defense a short field. He really doesn't. And that is a major factor because some of the most fun guys to watch, Mahomes, Josh Allen, some, like, guys I love to watch, they you know, I don't want to say it, but the ball security is not really the first thing that comes to mind.
So what's your prediction for the weekend? Matt, what do you got?
I think Joe Burrow comes out blazing, starts fast,
mm-hmm.
and I think they get up big on Kansas City, and I think Kansas City mounts an epic comeback because that's just what they can do whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. I'm not good at playoff predictions, as you know, Rich. Mm-hmm. But I would say that I think this is going to be.
Oh,
I think you know what I mean. Like I would say this. Remember, was it last year the Bengals and the Bills? The Chiefs and the Bills had that like epic playoff game. I think we all sat back and we're like, you know what? If that was the Super Bowl, then that would have been the best Super Bowl I've ever seen. You know, I almost feel like that's what we could say about this AFC game, this Bengals Chiefs game. Like, I just think it's going to be just such a great game.
So, did you use your hot mic moment as an excuse to get out of predicting right now? Is that what you just did? Which you did. That's
well,
next
that
level.
Back,
that's next level.
You know, I didn't know I had a hot mic. Number one, but. What do you want a prediction?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, Rich.
You're a Sunday foot
television on Sunday morning. Like you do the pregame show.
Yeah, so do you.
Network. Right. I do the pregame show Sunday yeah. Countdown on ESPN. So
right.
Like, we're like living the same life in
yes.
different parts of the. Like I'm in New York City. You're
yes.
in LA.
Correct.
it kind of reminds me of what my relationships were like with like guys who played quarterback in the NFL while I did.
Yeah.
So like, hey, I got a ton of respect for you. I know you're doing this thing, but like, I don't get to watch you at 1 o'clock on Sunday because I'm playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Right.
So it's kind of,
yes.
So we, I don't know how you do it, but we do game picks on our show.
Yeah, we do it. So do we. Yes. Okay, we do
good.
It too.
So, yeah. So I got to put more work in, man. I got to find out how, like I said, I got to find out, you know,
sounds
they said the walkthrough went great. Okay. La-di-da. Okay. I want to hear how practice went. I want to know how he wakes up tomorrow. I want to know all these things.
Sounds just like Kurt Warner. Kurt hasn't gotten all the information. That's what he does too. These you quarterbacks, man. Yeah, he hasn't got all the information yet. Like he can't do it just yet. He's not ready for it yet.
Well,
so.
I could do it, but I want to give you like I might change my mind by Sunday morning. You know, like,
okay.
Or actually, I think we're on later this week, 12-3. So it's kind of nice get to sleep in.
Oh my god!
Maybe take a little run around New York City, Teddy Bruschi.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Get a croissant.
Are you serious? Like you only doing a 3-hour show? We're doing 6, Matthew. Are you serious?
Really? Sometimes less is more. Sometimes honestly, a 6-hour show. Ain't nobody got time to watch a 6-hour show. My mom wouldn't even watch me on a 6-hour show. You know,
got time for
6 hours. When do you go to the bathroom?
How is Betsy doing? How is she doing? How's the whole fam? Everybody good?
She's great.
Everybody's great.
You know, she'll always comment on my outfit. I don't know if like your family does this.
Yeah,
my mom will be like, fix your tie, or
okay,
you know, like oh, I love this shirt that you're wearing, or you know, I don't know what, you know, stuff. It's very fun.
I guess that sounds like
though. Like one time, my IFB, like the earplug that goes in your ear.
Yes.
I know you know that, but if people don't know, one time it was like hanging out loose, like dangling there, like I had like an earring or something.
Yes.
And my mom texts me and tells me, and I look at the people I work with, like not one of them, not Randy Moss, not Rex Ryan, not Samantha Pond. No one was in. Like I'm like, none of you guys are gonna say anything. Literally had like a 10-minute conversation with Adam Schefter. I'm like, dude, you weren't gonna say anything about this, like. Earring hanging out of my ear, like I didn't want to be rude.
I don't know, man. Normally, that have you lost the locker room, Matt? I mean, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Have you lost the locker room there already? I mean, gosh, come
good
on now.
Good question.
Just asking.
It's a fair point. Now I'm insecure.
Well, don't be. You got the morning off Sunday. Come on, man. 3 hours. Let's go. Come on. I'll see, at 9 a.m. Eastern. You know.
Rich, who are you going with? Who are you picking?
Oh, I haven't figured that out yet, Matt. I've got to look at the film. I've got to figure out the practice.
Chose Chad Henne. You know, they say anything is possible.
Anything is, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I could do the veteran move and say, well, I chose the Niners and the Chiefs on Thanksgiving, so I've got to stick with it. But I'm thinking of flipping. I'm thinking of Burrow versus Eagles. You know. Burrow versus Eagles. Oh, and by the way, just so you're aware, Mahomes just stepped down from the podium. He went to his left. What does that mean?
Ooh.
When he went to his left. When he stepped away from the podium, went to his left.
You know how I'm really going to do my game pick if I'm being totally honest with you, Rich?
Please.
I'm thinking about which fan bases do I want to be in Glendale, Arizona with for
okay.
Super Bowl week.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like, do I want Bengals fans, who were pretty awesome last year in L.A., by the way.
Yep.
Like, Bengals fans, they showed out. It was pretty good. But then, like, could anybody really top the Eagles fans? Really? I mean... That's like, but then like, you know, the faithful, the Niners faithful.
The Niner gang.
You know, Chiefs, they're just like the Patriots. They're just kind of like used to being down there.
So what's your choice there?
I'm curious.
What's your choice there? Now that you're offending human beings and fan bases that, you know, get all riled up. What's your choice there?
No, it's more, I'm not offended. I'm like, just more like complimentary.
Oh,
like,
there you go. My
like,
bad. My
you
bad.
Know, they're very different fan bases, though, right? Like,
I know.
Don't know. Just, that's what's going to go into it. I don't know if you have a favorite fan base or...
No, I like them all. All 32, you know? I'm not very discerning, man.
Politician.
Thank you.
You're a politician.
Thank you.
You're a man of the people.
Kissing babies. That's all I'm doing. Say hi to everybody for me. Say hi. And that's very Saturday Night Live. Say hi to your mother for me. Say hi to the whole family. And say hi to everyone at ESPN. We'll see you soon.
I will. Rich, you're a legend. By the way, just so you know, like you still have a lot of SportsCenter pictures all throughout the headquarters there.
You're really
like a living legend, man.
Will you snap one? Snap one. Let me see it the next time. Let me see.
I will. Well, we shoot in the Seaport in New York City.
I know.
So next time I'm at Bristol, Connecticut, like HQ, the house that Chris Berman built.
Yes.
I will go down there and I will shoot you some pictures. I might even put them out online.
I love
it. Twitter, as they say.
Do it, please. Okay? Do it. Say hi to everybody. Right. Thanks for the call, Matthew. You're the best.
Will do.
Thanks, man. There you go.
Say hi to everybody there.
See there you guys. Go. Fantastic. Matthew Hasselbeck, everybody. There goes your brother from another mother, Chris.
Very good.
God, he's funny. I love that breakdown about this from the Mahomes and that from Mahomes. And you just,
that was interesting.
Just take a Sharpie and take those plays out. We will hear from Mahomes next.
Love it.
How about them apples? Yeah, baby. Okay, that's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel and more. Don't go anywhere. Oh, look at that. That is it. Look at you two right there. For our radio audience, that's Brockman on the left. No, wait a minute. Nice.
Yeah, man.
This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season 2 coming up.
Catch up with season 1 or start season 2 on YouTube or wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The Rich Eisen Show from the Grainger Desk right here in Los Angeles, California. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Patrick Mahomes spoke during the conversation we just had with Matthew Hasselbeck, and I was keeping an eye on it. I was hanging on every word that Matthew said. Mahomes looked to his right, answered questions to his right. He answered questions to his left. It looked like he was, swaying a little bit. So that means it's at some point he was putting pressure on that right ankle. And then
he was on his toes.
He walked away to his left. Now, what that means to me is that the exit to the room was to his left. That's what it means to me. All right, here's what he had to say about his ankle. Roll it.
How are you?
I'm doing good, AFC Championship week, ready to go.
How's the ankle?
It's doing good, I've had a few days of treatment, a few days of rehab. Excited to get on the practice field and kind of test it out and see where I'm at, but it's feeling good so far.
You expressed that you'd start treatment the night after the game. Can you just kind of bring us through what that night was and then these last few days, what you've been doing?
Yeah, I was able to do some extra testing just to make sure everything was good, not after the game, and then get a few things done to help the treatment kind of start off. And then the next few days has just kind of been, all-day thing where you're just doing either treatment or rehab or watching film. And I had to take Brittany a few places with me so I can be around the kids a little bit. But it's a full-day thing where you're trying to make sure that you're obviously prepared for the Bengals and a great football team mentally and physically.
He said that the toughest injury he's ever had to play with was turf toe, that he had to walk around with his toes curled.
That's what everybody says.
That's what caused Deion to retire. As you know, he has since had foot surgery.
Yeah. Didn't Jack Lambert have turf toe as well? Isn't that what?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's what caused him to have to retire too.
Right, look, man, it's just going to see what's it going to look like. And Romo will be the first to notice it during the broadcast. I'm serious. I found what Matt Hasselbeck just told us fascinating, that when he had an injury, he would go up to Holmgren and Mike would say, what on this play sheet that we call hurts? And he would say, well, that one would make me go to this spot and I'd have to lean on that part of my leg and that's going to make it hurt. But I can do this. Running to my left from under center, no, but from the shotgun I can. And then he would just take a Sharpie and just take it out of the playbook and then have 90 million other plays that he could run.
Good coaching.
And do you know whose staff Andy Reid came from? Mike Holmgren's staff. As Matt Hasselbeck said, when he was drafted by the 98 Packers, the guy who called him was quarterback's coach, Andy Reid. So there you have it. There will be a bunch of plays that Mahomes will be able to run, and we assume he will be terrific at it, and Kelsey will be open because that's what he always is, and we'll see what happens.
Can we double-team Travis Kelsey, please?
Who told us? It was Chris Long who told us the other day. It's just that he and Mahomes run routes like he runs routes for Mahomes, and Mahomes gets in the ball like a quarterback and tight end group. Accommodation rarely is able to do. Like he knows where to go and knows where to wind up, and Mahomes knows where to find him. And yeah. I mean, seriously, you don't think the Jaguars knew to stop Travis Kelsey?
I hope that was item number one.
I would think so.
I mean, he did have 10 catches in the first half, so maybe not.
So here we are. Here's the one thing we have learned on this is that he's going to play. That, you know, Romo said at the end of the Bengals-Bills broadcast that on Wednesday, if the high ankle injury is as bad as the one that he had, he'd be on crutches Wednesday. Well, he walked to the podium and walked away from it. He's not on crutches. He's going to play. That's it. The guy's going to play, and he's going to test it out, and he won't be stupid about it, and I'm sure the Chiefs will be conservative about it, and Andy Reid's got a million snow globe plays to call otherwise. I guess he won't be able to move laterally well enough to go ring around the rosy in a huddle. So they won't run that play. There you have it.
Sharpie.
Yeah, it's it. And it's out of the playbook for the week.
That play's gone.
And yeah. We'll see if we advance to the Super Bowl. Let's see if I could just, hopefully it's a dry erase. And you can just put those plays back into the active bin. And I found that interesting. He says, well, if it's a wide receiver, then you just switch the guy from one side to the left. And again, Lou Anarumo's a defensive coordinator, and they'll pick up on it. They'll pick up on it if he has trouble going this way or that way, or these plays that they saw earlier in the season, they're going to do something else. He knows that this is their tendency. They'll break it. Man, I can't wait. But that's what I learned today. What did you learn, Rich? I learned Mahomes is going to play. And also that the exit to the room where they conducted these interviews was to the left. Unless there's a right door and he chose the left because he has trouble going to his right because of his right ankle.
Okie doke.
Can you look into that for me, please? Thanks.
Sure. What's the name of the Chiefs PR guy?
Ted Cruz, my buddy Ted Cruz.
Not that Ted Cruz.
Is that Ted Cruz? Or?
No.
Oh, gotcha.
C-R-E-W-S.
Oh, like Terry Cruz.
That's unfortunate. Gotcha. Got to change your name, right?
Nope.
It's a different spelling.
Ted is a delightful human.
Which one?
C-R-E-W.
C-R-E-W-S. I have not met the other.
Got it.
NetSuite wants you to know your numbers. If you are running your business without knowing your numbers, then you are not up to speed like 33,000 businesses are.
Yeah,
because
what are you doing?
Exactly. I don't really mean to be so aggressive. I mean, but that's the East Coast thing. It's like, what are you doing?
No, I get
what are you
it.
Doing?
I came in hot this morning, Rich. I understand.
You won't rely on spreadsheets or outdated software. You're finance software. You're in charge of Rich Eisen Show HR.
I don't
it's
even know what a spreadsheet is.
Amazing we're on
is.
The air. financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. You get full visibility and control of your financials when you upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system to power your growth, don't you know? For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade it. NetSuite.com/richradio. NetSuite.com/richradio for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. NetSuite.com/richradio. When we come back here on the program, in my mind, crisis averted for the moment, although apparently the NFL still wants to do this, and I'm not terribly happy about it. That's in advance of Albert Breer joining us. And let's check your work, Chris. I have here in my hand 10 overreaction Monday theories that you threw in my direction over the regular season.
Just tossed them out there.
And we'll see how they stood up.
All right.
How did they stand up? That's next on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, one big happy family with our radio audience here on the Roku channel. Guess what?
What's that, Rich?
You should not only just get the Roku channel to watch us, but a ton of other fun shows like Emeril Lagasse in his original series on Roku, original series, Emeril Tailgates, right here on the Roku channel. He's going to be kicking it up a notch on all your favorite hometown recipes and cooking up the best menus for your postseason tailgates. He's got a new episode every Thursday leading up to the big game. And did I mention it's also free right here on the Roku channel? You can watch both of our shows on the Roku channel via Roku devices, therokuchannel.com, on the Roku app on your smartphone or Amazon Fire TV and select Samsung TVs. As always, you can catch my show right here on channel 210 and now catch Emeril Tailgates and Emeril Tailgates the postseason on the Roku channel, plus over 1,000 episodes of Classic Emeril on live channel 441. You don't want to miss it.
You should do that.
Thank you very much.
I was watching a lot of Tiny House Nation on Roku myself.
Mm-hmm. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Rich.
It's one of our most popular segments. Overreaction Monday.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Every Monday you come on this program and you overreact to stuff from the weekend.
Just get to say stuff.
But deep down you believe it's true.
A little bit.
It's not an overreaction if you believe it.
Exactly.
And I think you got a little bit of the Costanza in you. You believe it.
I do, a little bit. I mean, at the moment.
And so those moments have now long since passed, but I have 10 of your overreaction Monday moments here now on the Wednesday before the championship weekend. I need NFL Films music.
All right.
Let's check on your work.
What do we got?
Alternating between way off base and eerily on target.
Some of them are really bad.
Week 3. Here you go. Overreaction Monday. You said week 3. This is after the Chiefs lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
To fall to 1-2.
Uh-huh.
We should be worried about the Chiefs after all in week 3.
So that was because after week 1, I was like, oh, we shouldn't be, you know, because there was all that talk in the preseason about what is the offense going to
look like.
Remember,
they dismantled Arizona in week 1.
And it was like, oh, okay, we shouldn't be worried about the Chiefs at all.
Well, they were 2-1 because they beat the Chargers in week 2.
And then they go to Indy
and
look awful. Everyone right. had the Chiefs as their survivor pick that week.
Right.
Including me. And they look terrible.
Okay.
So we should be worried about that.
I do believe I said at the time that I did see some things that would concern me, but I believe the Raiders were already 0-3. And I might have said that was an overreaction.
And they're in the Final Four.
Four so. Weeks later, though, week 7, you said Josh Jacobs will lead the NFL in rushing by the season's end. And guess who won the rushing title?
That was a good one.
Josh Jacobs, one of the few bright spots of the Raiders season. But, of course, the Raiders did not pick up his fifth-year option before, so he's now a complete free agent.
Oh, baby. Where's he going to go? Great.
I guess they could franchise him. They could. I don't know. But I think the only question is, does Tom Brady want him or not? Week 3. Here's another bad one. You were on a roll in week 3.
Week 3 was
you followed up the we should be worried about the Chiefs after all with no team from the AFC and NFC West will reach championship weekend. And we got one of each. We got one of each.
Were those divisions just terrible through the first 3 weeks?
I guess so, huh? Well, I mean, the Raiders, we realized early on that the Chiefs were 2-1, and the Chargers beat the Raiders week one and then lost week two to Kansas City. And then week three, they came home and got spanked by the Jaguars.
Oh.
And we already saw what Russ was cooking.
And Russ was just, like, not going in
the
right
direction.
And the
NFC West, you were already down on the Rams. The Chargers didn't. I mean, nobody was looking good. The Seahawks were looking good. Don't forget, the Niners started 1-2.
But to be a Final Four team, I was like, eh.
Week four.
All right.
Week four. You came on Overreaction Monday and said the NFC East is getting three playoff teams. Damn.
Bam.
Did you have a crystal ball back there?
Bam, bam. Wish I would have bet that.
Damn. Okay. Nice well, on. The Giants, as we know, started off pretty well.
Yeah, the Giants, they got a hot start.
But and you threw the Cowboys in there with Cooper Rush starting 2-0.
Yeah, that was kind of the hot take of throwing that in the mix because Eagles started hot, obviously undefeated. Yeah. Giants were hot.
Week eight. Let's see what happened. Denver Broncos. So bad. Picked off Trevor Lawrence in London and actually won that game.
That's right.
Week eight, you came on the air and you said the Broncos are going to ride into the playoffs. A donkey. Maybe that's what they're riding.
What was their record at that point?
Through 8 weeks. I don't know. Don't forget, they beat the Niners on that Sunday night when Jimmy G had his first start and he looked terrible. Right?
I mean, they were 3-5. So they were sort of like they ended a four-game snide.
You know what that
Two
was?
Two of the losses in overtime. I felt they were
Excuse me. I got this.
I felt they were close.
You were trying to wish
I was.
Your fantasy quarterback into viability.
1,000%.
That's what it was?
That's all that was.
He was utilizing Overreaction Monday to hope his fantasy quarterback and Russ Wilson wasn't as terrible as he was seeing.
He was trying to speak it into existence.
They win that game in London. They go to 3-5. They have a bye week. And you know what they do after the bye, guys? They lose 5 in a row.
So week 13, we were already, how many weeks? Hold on, man, get this right. 9, 10, 11, and 12. We were a month removed from the Bengals' disastrous Halloween night loss to the Browns, and you said the Bengals are the most dangerous team in the AFC, and I agreed, actually. Yeah. That was week 13. Good on us.
Good on us.
Week 10. This was after they had won in Vegas. Matt Ryan reinstalled as the starter.
He's back.
Interim coach Jeff Saturday watched Ryan run 140 yards to beat the terrible Raiders. And you said, led by Saturday and Ryan, the Colts are making the playoffs. Bum, 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 bum. Let's follow it up. Week two, Chris.
They once lost 7.
Week two. We don't even need to, talk about what happened in week one.
Utah. Give me 2.
Good Lord. You came on after the opener of the season. And said
they just beat the Colts.
They just beaten the Colts. Okay, got it. Yeah. So after week two,
after week two.
You said the Jaguars are winning the AFC South. Well, because you predicted that prior to the season, didn't you? Wasn't that your season?
I predicted it prior to last season because I actually thought Urban Meyer was going to be good.
Oh my God!
You're wrong on that one.
But I nailed this one. Week two.
Damn.
By the way, guys, you know what they did after I predicted that? They lost 5 of the next 6 games.
I know. But we all saw. We all saw, right? All right, and then after they boat raced the Chargers, and you probably walked
and
around
here. Hey, here we go.
Like that gif of that guy stepping out of the Maybach, you know, right? All right. Week 10. Hold on a minute. What happened here? Got to get the context. Week 10. They had just beaten Buffalo on that remarkable comeback, 4th and 18, one-handed grab by Justin Jefferson. The Vikings are the best team in the NFL and demand our respect. That is your worst overreaction of the season.
Whoa.
That has to be. We saved the worst overreaction for last. Deserve our respect. All right, so what's your best? What's the best? Week five.
This is good.
Week five.
This is the best
Chris
one.
Brockman showed up on Overreaction Monday and said, we're headed for an Eagles-Niners NFC Championship game. Damn! Take a bow, Chris. Well done.
Did that really happen? Because I don't remember that at all.
What's up?
Wow.
Better than the Jaguars take? That's pretty good.
What was my... Did I say yes to that? I don't remember.
I'm sure.
I think I probably said that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
Because I mean, after 5 weeks...
We saw Jimmy G start to get some traction,
and
right?
Obviously, the Eagles were 5-0, just
Correct.
Killing everybody.
Right. And who else was up there? The Vikings were doing well. The Bucks were right around 500. That was after the Battle of the Goats. Green Bay and Tampa Bay really didn't light our fire.
That was right in the middle of Cooper Rush. But Niners, Eagles.
Oh. Well done. Excellent review of your work, sir.
It wasn't all terrible.
Yes, you're correct. It wasn't all terrible. That is not an overreaction. Very well done. I like it. All right. Albert Breer. He's going to join us. I want to talk to him. Does it seem to you that it's taking longer to hire coaches than before?
Yes.
People are doing more diligence.
Wouldn't we normally already have one?
Everybody.
Before championship weekend?
We'd have all of them.
Well, no, so what's it going to happen? We're going to watch the championship weekend go down, and the next weekend and the bye week is when all these teams are going to get hired.
You can figure a lot of these teams are going to go over to some of these coordinators.
Well,
right?
I think also, though, that there's a rule that you couldn't speak to people.
While the team is?
I don't know. Until divisional weekend was over. I don't know. That's why we're going to have Breer on to set, you know, make heads or tails of this. And then I've got the coach of the year candidates. When we came on the air, it was five. Now it's down to three.
Wait,
what? The NFL announced five guys.
I saw that.
And also five MVP candidates. And then the AP only announced three.
What?
Can we get on the same page or what?
Come on, guys.
Yeah. But I still got my top five coaches. My coach of the year list coming up in hour three with Albert Breer. And so the Rich Eisen Show crack staff, we have the video of Mahomes walking away from the podium. We do? Okay, here we go. Let's take a look. Okay. Oh, nice little hop step. Look at that. And then, boom, he falls down. He falls down as soon as he's at the door.
He's favoring.
By the way, how about Harold R. Kuntz III having the presence of mind to shoot that video?
Great job, Harold.
Hold on. He uses a left foot to go down the sill. It was a nice little quick little step.
Yeah, but that's like, I don't want to put any pressure on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see that one more time.
Let's see
it one more time.
He's like very careful to avoid the pressure.
Hold on. I don't know about that. Is it a little hitch? You said it's a hitch?
A little hitch.
I mean, a hitch is you go Fred G. Stanford, the two steps.
I mean, he's 27. But.
Well, let me tell you something. That's barely a hitch. And after what we saw the last time we saw him, the fact that he's walking like that is amazing.
That's good.
That first step.
One last look. He goes left, right, then left, right, left, right, left, right, left, and then boom, falls straight down.
You think when the door closed, he's just like, oh, God, that hurt.
Damn. Oh, that last 15 minutes.
Oh,
terrible. You don't get this analysis anywhere else, I guarantee you.
Emmy nominated, TJ.
Oh, yeah. Mark this block.
Yeah, that's a good segment for us.
Oh, just hand us the trophy. Hand us the trophy.
Are we going to pay for that?
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.